Bucks Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Monday morning, 251-343-0106. If you need to be in touch with the show, all you got to do is text me and we'll do our best to respond to whatever it is that is on your mind. So he'll come on the program, Dale Jackson, about a half hour. He'll be with us. We'll talk about what he did for his 4th of July festivities. I'm sure he wants to tell us all about it. Also, Parker Griffith, the official Democrat response of the Jeff Poor Show, who probably also had an equally interesting 4th of July. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Butterknife, it was white supremacists who do support Trump, which is okay because you have the same thing on the left who support Democrats. If you do believe there's organized white supremacists in this country, do not believe, then you're misleading yourself. But the point is this, there's just not equal coverage. There's not equal coverage of the left-wing activists who are Antifa or whatever. Yeah, it's on Fox News or whatever, but the point, Butterknife, and I don't know why this is so hard, it's the 250th anniversary celebration of the United States. And these people who are just very, very dead set against the president made this the highlight of the day, or a highlight. By the way, MS Now, Chiron, Trump rails against communism in new remarks. So I guess that is shocking to be anti-communist. I don't know. Backstrap. Six Flags went to crap in the 90s when it looked like a modern-day teen takeover. Most of the world people take their young children to Disney. Yeah, I did a little bit of research on this. You're right. That the regional parks have really suffered, but the destination parks, the Orlando parks where there's, you know, four or five together, are doing a little better. Disney's sunk a bunch of money into its cruises and its theme parks. But I you know, that may be true, but the teen takeover is not there anymore. People don't go to these things. I am convinced that this is not a thing that people do for fun anymore. And what are they doing for fun instead? It's TikTok videos and YouTube and televised sports. I don't know, whatever it is. It's not roller coasters. It's not going to play ring toss and winning a big giant stuffed bear. It's not that anymore. Our society's changed. And so let's take it this next step. I think we're losing the battle against the screens and the internet. Not that it was a battle that, you know, you pick sides. And this was probably a discussion when TV came to be a thing. People stopped going to live plays. But are we ready for this? Are we ready for this transition to sort of democratized fun, if you will? Because it's no longer profitable to do one of these regional theme parks like Six Flags. The roller coaster does not have the same appeal. The old free fall or whatever. And this other thing about it is there are these simulators everywhere. But going to a physical location and doing something like this, you would think on the 3rd of July, you would anticipate maybe a spike in traffic, a little more people there. They don't, that's not there anymore. It was all people my age with their kids. So it's a little, I guess a little sad, but not surprising. Never would have thought like a roller coaster would be an antiquated vehicle for recreation, right? 251-343-0106. Word of the day, immersive. Squirrelverine. Where is the violence from these hard-to-deny organized white supremacists? The texter, would you say? January 6th, exclamation point. Toothless Bab or Parker was probably triggered about Trump making that FIFA call. All the other failed bit never Trumpers think it's a travesty. Yeah, one of my TV monitors has BBC News on it, and they are not happy. Fox News is happy, and then the other stations are kind of like, whatever. Then you got this Joe Walsh guy who was served one term in Congress due to the Tea Party, apparently upset that Trump would dare to rail against communism. Shannon Sharp has a lot of time on his hands. He talked about Trump hypocrisy at Colin Kaepernick. Trump a dangerous president in FIFA phone call. Sports media is just wildly left wing. And Clay Travis, the one thing that was always outkick was sold to Fox. What, Stephen A. Smith talking about, sports talk radio, national sports talk radio, if you listen to any of the ESPN, it's unlistenable. They are milking the NBA season. It ended like two, three weeks ago. Where will LeBron go? Who cares? But Stephen A. Smith, I guess, goes on his show and starts talking about the Lakers and Luka and building a team around white players. Which seems a little taboo. It doesn't surprise you about Shannon Sharp. Something else, we were in Atlanta. I'm not going to listen to the music stations. We had a radio on. We're listening to the, whatever the local Braves affiliate up there, 680 The Fan. And they spend time on other sports, baseball, but they spend a lot of time on the Falcons and college football in the middle of June and July. But a lot of it's just regurgitated. I don't know. I'm not a sports talk guy. We're going to give it a shot, by the way, and we haven't officially announced it. You're going to get a dose of Jeff Porto at Sports Tiger Talk Overtime later this fall or later this summer. But some of the productions are really cool, like the way they use sound effects. And it's just zany sports guys talking about things. But the subject matter, it's not very topical or timely. But I find this stuff that you sense these like left-wing assumptions show up in that medium about the world, about America 250 or whatever. And this is where the left won, and the culture. The movies are being made in a way that represents like whatever the blue state point of view is. And it's just treated as this conventional wisdom is just fact. This perception about the world, this perception about a president who more than half the country voted for. Uh, no one likes him and it's bad and he's ruining sports when he shows up at an NBA game or a Super Bowl or a college football game. I mean, people freaked out when Trump showed up at the Knicks game during the NBA Finals. I guess he's only allowed to go to MMA events. But I just think there's a little more that leaves much. I mean, you know, they could do better. But you're right. Like, there's a, this is where their mind goes, whether they'd be at Yay USA. And clearly this red card was, it seemed like it was a little unfair. And trying to right a wrong and correct an injustice. Oh, it's Trump meddling in sports again. I mean, Colin Kaepernick, we're still talking about that? This is a league that signed Michael Vick, fresh out of prison. These teams are going to do what they can do to win, I would think. They did blackball Colin Kaepernick. And if we're going to apply that standard about Colin Kaepernick, Toothless Bammer, what about Tim Tebow? You know, maybe they're just not great quarterbacks. And that's why they couldn't get an NFL contract. They just can't throw. Can't read plays. There's a quarterback crunch in the NFL, but I don't think that these NFL owners, these general managers are like, well, this guy's a Trump guy. This guy's an Obama guy. This guy's a BLM guy. I don't think they think that way. You're signed to a contract. You're paid millions of dollars. Not everybody gives 100%. I get it. But if you have some talent, some kind of an ability, you can overlook someone's crazy politics. I mean, all the kneeling and all of that. How many players? And like the NFL overcompensated by trying to like virtue signal with its messaging. And baseball right now, celebrating Pride Month. Mike, ESPN is so dominant in sports that it skewed all of the commentators toward DIY woke culture. College especially, SEC seems like the last bastion of sanity. Even Paul, when ESPN, he went super woke. I think that's a little overstated. Maybe he's not as conservative as he used to be. Paul Feinbaum, you could hear on this station. 2-6. When he was on WERC in Birmingham, when he was on API, he was the follow-up show when Rush Limbaugh went off. He bounced around different stations up there. Then he got syndicated down here. And he kind of fit that portfolio. Like, he talked a little politics, because what, like it is now with football year-round. But he certainly, at least in my experience growing up, seemed like he leaned to the right. And he looked at running in the Republican ticket, didn't he? Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
The customer bought the Indian maid. He took her home so far away.
Then he cried just south of Nashville. And he turned that car around. He said,
this is where you get off, boy. Cause I'm going back to Alabama. As I stepped out of that Cadillac, I said, mister, many thanks. He said, you don't have to call me mister, mister. The whole world called me Hank. He said, Ripper, can you make...
Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for staying with us on this Monday morning, 251-343. 0106. You want to be in touch with the program? You hit me up on that text line and we'll do our best to respond to whatever it is that is on your mind. Still come on the program. Del Jackson in the next segment and Parker Griffith, the official Democrat response out of the Jeff Poehler Show in the 11 o'clock hour. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Let's see here. Recapping the news. Looks like, accused Kirk's assassin is having his preliminary hearing right now in Provo, Utah. Tyler Robinson. I don't know what we'll find out from this. I think Americans just kind of want to see, or most people, at least Fox News viewers, no one else is really covering this, at least some kind of a sense of justice. That really, the Charlie Kirk assassination really kind of changed things, didn't it? For at least a hot moment, we were just talking about Paul Feinbaum, and we were talking about that Senate race in the very early stages of it. Remember all the names you heard? Now, Barry Moore is the Republican nominee, and he'll likely go on to be a United States Senator. But aside from Steve Marshall, who ran, and then Jared Hudson, who would have thought, you know, that when it was all said and done, it would have been Hudson and Barry Moore there at the very end. But you remember we heard Bruce Pearl, we heard Paul Feinbaum, and those two kind of, these two sports personalities, when they were asked, well, why are you flirting with this idea of a U.S. Senate run? It's all about Charlie Kirk and what a profound moment that was to them. That this young man, and he was doing his Turning Point USA tour, and he's gunned down. And that just hit people differently than maybe. I mean, we saw Trump, and that certainly had an impact on the presidential election and the whole fight thing. With this, these political assassinations, they're like, well, you knock on wood, we haven't had much of this lately. But, I mean, this was Charlie Kirk. What was he, you know, he was this conservative ideologue who would field questions from the public on these college campuses, and you'd have the pro abortion on demand college student. And he would, you know, answer whatever queries they had in a logical, reasonable way. But this thing he probably doesn't get enough credit for, and his whole organization, was just getting out the vote for younger people. And you're never going to win. Republicans are never going to win that demo outright, but they made some inroads there. I mean, just like, do 20-somethings, Gen Zers really want to be told what to do? No. Anybody that age doesn't. And, you know, kind of like help people connect the dots. Like, well, this, then if freedom, quote unquote, is your thing, why do you want more government through the, you know, the platform of the Democratic Party, which is, you know, government is the solution here. But that trial's, or just preliminary hearing about underway. That, like I said, was a real profound thing. And then, this is still up on my screen up here in the Fairhope Bureau, the white supremacist group marching through Washington. It's just a bunch of dudes who are wearing weird shirts and masks and hats. I don't know. Why would you do this? 251-343-0106. Hit us up on that text line. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Monday morning. Text line, you need to be in touch with the show, 251-343-0106. Joining us now here on the line, Dale Jackson from WVNN up in Huntsville, also of Yellowhammer News. Dale, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I am a big fan of Jeff Poore and his bumper music. Psyched to be here.
You really hate music.
I actually like music a lot. I've never understood the words, the bumper music words, the need for bumper music with words. Let's put it that way.
That's a Sean Sullivan thing too. He doesn't do the bumper music with words.
I knew I loved him. He was a pro. What can I say?
Yeah, but like,
rest in peace.
He was in, rest in peace.
Just kidding. Just a joke.
Why would you do that? You know, he's off today.
Oh, is he?
Okay. Don't. The ladies and gentlemen, Sean Sullivan is not the late Sean Sullivan. So
I did not know that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, thanks for I'm glad we had the opportunity to clear that up. No, like all these talk show hosts are just like, for the most part, like aging radio disc jockeys, right?
I mean, they get there. I mean, they definitely do. Glenn Beck, for example, just a perfect example. I'll pick that one. He was a wacky morning zoo guy, and then all of a sudden he's like, I think I'd actually like to be a very thoughtful, serious and somber talk show host. It's like, okay, that's an interesting choice there. Good job.
Well, he made it work.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. No question about that. The guy definitely, he was right. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, he made it work, but just that template. The politics got aligned with the crazy zaniness, right?
Limbaugh too. Limbaugh was a DJ at one point.
But he wasn't crazy zany DJ.
No, he was not. He was definitely a music guy. And a lot of radio guys take a crack at that world. You know, the reality is that those of us who come directly into talk radio at under the age of like 45 and stuff is a rare. It's a rare breed. It's a rare
breed. And then generally not good at it, I find.
That's probably true too.
Yeah, I guess you got me at like 44. So
I started at 25. So what do I know?
Hey, I mean, just like, who wants to listen to a 20-something talk about the world?
Yeah, what do you know? Why are you telling me anything? Shut up, kid.
Yeah, I mean, just saying. I just like, it's not, yeah, you know, go do something with your life.
Yeah, no, thank you. I'll prefer to make money the way I did. I'm good.
How did you celebrate America 250, Dale? We're all dying to know.
We did some fireworks. We did the neighborhood stuff with some friends. And we've gone out and watched Grant play kickball, where they had a national anthem and a fireworks display before the kickball game started. It was pretty wild.
You do your own fireworks?
We do fireworks, but I mean, we went to a neighborhood where they must have had four or five different fireworks things going on and competing against each other. It was pretty interesting.
Are fireworks illegal in Tommy Battles Huntsville?
There are no laws on the 4th of July. So the idea you're going to stop people from
I'm just asking from doing stuff like that, some places are vigilant.
Oh, yeah. Let's just say this. I didn't see no cops.
Yeah, well, that's good. There's like I hear it's just like this big fireworks display on the bay, but people like park their lawn chairs out there like the day before. I am not joking. It's like Fairhope Boomers can be the worst sometimes, and it's like they're tailgating at a football game, and the game's the fireworks.
Yeah, I could never see myself doing that. I'm sorry.
And it's an okay. I mean, it's not a bad fireworks show. It's not. We went to the Braves game, and on Friday nights they do fireworks, and that's a pretty impressive display. They do, and I don't know. Maybe it measures up, but it's so much more widespread.
Well, the new thing now is drones. Now we got some drone stuff going on.
Right,
that's an interesting little wrinkle to this whole thing. I to each his own. I mean, every city wants to do their own thing.
I thought the Donald Trump display was America 250 display, but Donald Trump did it in the most Donald Trump way spectacularly, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, look, Donald Trump tried to make it all about him, and then everyone else tried to make it all about him, so congratulations to him for getting exactly what he wanted.
But the fireworks, take that out of it. That could be a discussion for a moment, but the fireworks were just like, wow. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if we've ever done anything like that before.
Yeah, they just want to go crazy and big. I mean, that's what he does. Everything he does is crazy and big, and people should accept that that's what you're going to get with this, and... You know, I guess he was mad that the weather kind of pushed him away, and he was mad about that. What I was surprised to see is we didn't see more from Donald Trump about all the liberal cities canceling their fireworks and stuff because of the heat and canceling stuff like that. And I was very surprised to see American cities do that. And I'm not
what's
a fan
changed?
Of that.
Yeah, like what's changed in the culture?
Yeah, because nobody would have done this 10 years ago.
Right.
Or not. Just drink some water and shut up.
Like people have changed, though. Like our culture's changed. It's changed. I don't know. It's something realization I had over the weekend. We went to Six Flags. Now, my oldest is not tall enough for any of the rides, hardly. But there was nobody there on the 3rd of July. And, like... People they don't do these amusement parks anymore and stuff like that. They go to Disney, but that's like a destination.
Yeah.
But like going to whatever for the day, Carowinds or Six Flags or whatever, people don't do that anymore.
Yeah, that era's over. That era's over. It's a big one. And look, Six Flags is having some trouble too. So they're having some issues as well. And plus, I mean,
the rides are all the same, right? Like, so you would think that there would be something to connect to generations. I mean, they're all roller coasters, but like this age group now, when we were in the 90s, we would go do stuff like that. But like now that age group doesn't do this stuff.
Well, you have a lot more stuff you can do at home.
Right.
Number one, people are just absolutely attached to their devices. And hey, I hate to say this, but this is the truth of the matter. A lot of people are very annoyed with crowds and how people act in public. I mean, people are trash. I mean, I hate to say it, but when I was at Disney, I was like, God, look at all these fat slobs.
But people have always been pathetic. That. But this is not new. Like, something's changed. Like, you've always had humanity. Like, humanity is not a variable here. It's a constant. And something has changed where people just don't want to do that anymore.
Maybe. I mean, that's possible. I'm just telling you, I go out in public and I'm like, why am I here?
Did you ever go to like when malls were a thing or I guess yeah, we just don't. I worked at the cinnamon roll bakery in the River Chase Gallery at Hoover. And you want to talk about just depraved behavior for some cinnamon rolls. It was just
cinnamon roll craziness going on.
It was just a fact. It's just a fact of life, though. You know, like people are always going to be people.
Okay. I think people feel it is new, and you're telling me it's not new. I'll take your word for it. But that's not how it feels, and I think that's why people. I mean, look at the cruise videos. Would you go on a cruise right now?
No, but it's more of the threat of the disease, and not. I've never been on a cruise. I've been on cruise ships. I've never been on a cruise, like a real cruise, and it just doesn't appeal to me.
And I'm not trashing the cruise idea or any of that stuff. That's not it. But what I am suggesting is that there is just social media shows us a part of the world that we don't like, and I think that does quite a number on our willingness to get out there and participate in the world. Listen to what the Europeans were saying. One of these Europeans, I saw this, and again, this isn't indicative of all of them, but this is this German guy crying because he has to go back to Germany. He was like, oh, I thought there was going to be a lot of shootings, and, you know, I thought I was putting my life at risk and all this other stuff, which is silly and funny, right? But that's still how that guy felt, because that's what he was told, that was what he was getting into. And
also, it's just perception and not reality?
Of course. Of course it's perception, but your perception still keeps you from doing stuff.
But people's perception of, like, humanity is keeping them from, and it's not the reality necessarily. Sometimes it is.
Probably, yes. That's probably correct. I probably agree with that, yeah.
And that's what's holding them back from going out. And they'd just rather just sit home and watch, I don't know, TikTok videos all day.
Yes, they'd rather sit home and watch YouTube. I mean, it's just, it's wild. And I think, you know, just to speak a little differently, I think sports are in a lot of trouble, too. Right now, it seems like sports is like the thing that is kind of holding back television, not holding back, but holding, keeping television propped up. Talk to TV station owners who have the SEC and look at the World Cup and all this. And they'll tell you, it's like, you know, things are going pretty well right now. But outside of sports, live sports, they got some problems. And I'll just be honest, I have a 7-year-old, 8-year-old. He loves sports. He loves it. And I'm telling you, he's watched this World Cup with me. You know, if I'm into it, he's into it. He'll get in there, but I can just see him itching. Like, I wonder what's on YouTube right now. Like,
yeah. You know what's saving sports, at least televised sports that no one cares about, is gambling.
Yeah, oh, I agree with that. That's another big problem. Big problem.
So just people get their dopamine hit differently it's a technology thing. And I'm not saying that we need to do something about it, but like examine the consequences, the unintended consequences here. It's like having a profound impact on society.
Oh, it's going to be way worse. I've told you this before, and I'll repeat it here real quick. You know, you and I remember going to college and going up there. And when we first get there, you go in, and there's some scantily clad girl with a tied-up T-shirt, and she's selling you a credit card. And she said, you can get one of these T-shirts that have, you know, the school logo on it. And you go up there, and you get the credit card, and, you know, boom, you're instantly $10,000 of credit card debt. But you can buy food and alcohol, and that's where your weekend stuff comes from, and you really live it up for a little bit. Next step is going to be putting gambling on those credit cards. And kids are going to walk out of college with not only 75 to 100K of student loan debt, they're going to walk out with $50,000 in gambling debt.
It's just that's all these things, like, you know, technology, net positive, I guess, but, like, we're not, like, really analyzing this right. We're not at all.
Stupid. Jeff, I've went over this 100 times and I've thought about it a lot. Look at that ticket in that lottery ticket that our friends in the media were so excited about in Mississippi last week. There was $1 million lottery scratcher sold to someone, right? Okay. So if you go look at all the money that goes into that $1 million guy, how much money you took out of the economy to give that guy $1 million. And it was basically, I did the math, it's like 1.85 million in tickets sold to give that guy that $1 million, right? So you get that, and then you take a look at all these other things that came to be in order for that to happen, and then he pays taxes on that at 30%. The state's winning, no question about it. I mean, there's no question they're winning on the sales, they're winning on everything. It's a net positive on just the taxation on the cards themselves and all this other stuff. But you're sucking billions of dollars out of your economy in order to give the education trust fund or whatever it's called there $87 million. It's like, damn, just raise taxes $87 million. So okay, I would much rather you just do that. If you need that $87 million that hard, just raise taxes $87 million. But instead they're going to hit people with $1 billion in taxes in order to get there,
right? But it's playing off like a weakness in because I mean some people can gamble responsibly and shut it off, but there's a lot of people who just can't. And it's, okay, look, it's their money. They earned it. However, whatever. They were able to come into it, and they were able to spend it how they see fit. However, does the state really need its logo on this and advertising it and propping it up?
No, they do not. And unfortunately, they're going to have that logo on there, and that logo is going to be the thing that motivates people and makes them think they can trust it. It's state-run. You tell people something to stay run and they're going to get behind it more. I mean, it's a problem. It's a super serious problem that I don't think we're being super serious about.
No, and this is a discussion it always is, though, and our policymakers do this. Well, people really want a lottery and you pull it. We got to get the people. They don't even say it like that. They say, I'm against gambling, but I'm for giving the people the right to vote on it. And there's like, we don't do direct democracy. There's a layer here. So like, what are you really saying here? Just throwing up the white flag, not even going to, you know, think about this at all and what it means. ultimately. Well, people want to gamble, they could go gamble. I don't care. I don't need the state of Alabama condoning it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And this whole thing, look, they all know it. You know it. I know it. They know it. We all know this is coming. We're not dumb. This thing is already the horse out of the barn.
Right. It's happening, guys. You know, no matter what Dale Jackson or Jeff Poore say, you're going to get your stupid lottery. But just know, we're sitting here today, here on July 6th, 2026, that, hey, we told you so.
Yep, that's exactly right. It is exactly right, and they're going to go for it. And again, there's no putting the horse back in the barn. The horse out of the barn, it's coming. The only question is, what does it look like?
Yeah, and they're going to use that just the lottery and hitch a bunch of other wagons to it. They're like way more destructive in some ways to the culture.
Listen to them talk about all the stuff the lottery's supposed to pay for. What exactly are our friends on the left going to say once their stupid lottery gets through? This is a serious question. Maybe you know the answer. What are they going to say about, we don't spend enough money on education, that's why we're so stupid? And I always hear that, and I'm like, well, I mean, you're stupid.
We're the last. We have a texter who likes to remind us how far down the list Alabama is on education.
Exactly right. You know, that texter, I'll tell that texter something right here, right now. He voted for the people that put us all the way down that list. Alabama's been climbing.
He's our Democrat.
He voted for those people. And until 2010, they controlled education and far beyond that, to be honest with you. And ever since Republicans have said enough of this and kind of seized it and actually have been doing stuff where there's, like, I don't know, accountability with the Literacy Act and stuff like that, it's moving forward a little bit. But, I mean, 136 years of Democrat control got the state of education in Alabama to that point. It wasn't the last, you know, 16 years of Republicans.
Well, it's
person's a moron and he should stop texting it.
It's not really a I don't even blame Democrat control for this. It's just the culture has changed. And we're not calling out like bad apples in society like we used to. Hey, you can't take care of your kids. You can't feed your kids. They have to come to school to get a free lunch to get fed. You can't.
During the summer.
You can do better than that.
But the part that I love is they have to come there during the summer to get fed, but heaven forbid you send them to summer school.
Yeah, well, you can't do better than that for your children. Yeah. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, or we don't want to shame anybody. We're like in this no judgment era, and that's the problem here. You know,
I'm in the maximum judgment era.
Well, I meant like we're told we can't do that. This no judgment thing that's going on.
I know.
You know what I'm talking about.
It's just insane.
And
insane.
You should be able to say, hey, you're doing a crappy job as a parent.
Yeah, and you're doing a crappy job as a parent. And you don't want any real accountability, because anytime that blows back on you, you freak out. I mean, all you got to do is go back and look at the Literacy Act and how people pushed stuff. I mean, all you have to do is know that they were like, oh, well, you got to understand, these kids are going to be left back, and look how much money that's going to cost the schools. And I was like, what?
That's your job.
They're going to have to hold those kids back, and someone's going to have to, you know, pay those teachers. And it's like, I don't give a crap about that. We're already doing that. I mean, I don't want to hear any of that crap.
We have to pay these teachers no matter what.
Yeah. It's great. Well, if they have to teach year round, you'll have to pay them more year round. I'm like, okay.
Well, you're the year round school guy. I'm just saying that, like, we need to tell parents to do their jobs and not just do these like feel good PSAs. But hey, why are you such a deadbeat?
Oh, listen, it's always been my philosophy. Be like, oh, you don't want kids to get fed during the summer? And I'm like, no, you can feed those kids all you want during the summer. But if a kid shows up and he's like, more food, sir, you should say, where's your dad? Where's your mom at?
Yeah, where's your mom and dad at? Why aren't they doing this? Maybe you don't belong with them.
Right. And then they should go do a welfare check on their house.
See what's going on there.
How can they help them?
Yeah, well, bring your kids into this world that we decided, just no judgment zone here. Hey, Dale, we're a little long here. We got to get out of here. Folks want to find you online. How can they do so?
At the Dale Jackson on any social media. You can also...
If you or someone you know has been abused, neglected, or exploited, call the Adult Abuse Hotline at 1-800-458-7214. That's 1-800-458-7214. Sponsored by the Alabama Department of Human Resources, the Department of Justice, ADECA Grant Number 18-VA-VS-050, the ABA, and this station.
Valley pays the bills we made. Old life had kicked him down to the ground. When he tried to get up, life would kick him back down. One day, Papa called me to his dying bed. Put his hands on my shoulder, then in tears he said, Patches, I'm depending on...
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Monday morning. 251-343-0106. If you need to be in touch with the program, hit us up on that text line. So to come, Parker Griffith, the official Democrats response of the Jeff Porter Show. That's in about 45 minutes or so, way long with Dale, but we'll do our best to get somebody's text. What about the mad cow guy? What about the mad cow guy?
I can't get to sleep at night. The parking lot's so loud and bright.
Rachel Maddow? I don't know. You take another shot at this old guy. 251-343-0106. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Somebody take me home through those Alabama